T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
17 million views and counting. Somebody went viral over the weekend. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The against the grain of all time, yeah. Mr. Perloff.
Oh, get out of here. All right, you want a little trivia? That was my, I think, third or fourth most viewed clip.
Yeah.
What beat it, the two things that beat it. I can't remember what the number one. Oh, yeah.
Well, first, let's say what actually went viral. Yeah. Then we'll get to what beat it.
Yeah. What went viral was this clip of Caitlin Clark getting elbowed, and they called it a flagrant foul, or their version of a flagrant foul.
Intentional foul, yeah.
I argued with that.
Right.
My number one
you
ever.
You said a two-year-old could see that that was not intentional.
Right.
And that got people riled up.
It still cannot beat my all-time viral clip, which was then Jets coach Adam Gase ripping smelling salts before a preseason game. For some reason, the Adam Gase smelling salts took off, but this was second.
Our buddy, even the smelling salts couldn't help that guy.
Yeah, I know.
He needed something stronger.
More smelling salts. It turns out Caitlin Clark needed smelling salts because on this play, which was a routine play, she got elbowed in the face. In slow-mo, it looked like this person just cold-cocked Caitlin Clark. It was in the beginning of the Holy Cross Iowa game, and I tweeted it. Me and the announcers were like, oh, that looked like a basketball play, not an intentional foul.
Right.
I tweeted it out. In slow-mo, it looked terrible.
It looks really bad in slow-mo.
But
like a lot of slow-mos, a slow-motion hit to the face never looks good.
Right. But it was just the most routine, normal, nothing play of all time, and the announcers couldn't believe. At first, they had no idea that there was anything going on because they couldn't see it from their vantage point. They thought it was just a routine play. A Holy Cross player was cutting through the lane and accidentally elbowed Caitlin Clark in the face. So my argument was that clearly wasn't intentional because the wording of what a flagrant is in women's college basketball is intentional foul. And there was nothing intentional about it.
Right.
And I was, to me, that was the most obvious fact ever. As I said, a two-year-old could do it. But then our friend Rex Chapman tweeted it out and America thought it was clearly what, you know, one of the great punches in college basketball history.
It took on a real life of its own, but this is the Caitlin Clark effect. So let's hear some sound here. We have Caitlin. If you didn't see it, don't worry. It's basically a woman from Holy Cross who's, you know, bigger than Caitlin Clark, kind of going through the lane trying to make a cut, and she's holding her one arm up, kind of like out, you know, like away from her body. And we didn't know until after that apparently her hand is broken. So she didn't want to have her hands down because she didn't want excessive contact. So while her arm is up, the left arm is up, is the non-shooting hand. Caitlin's there in the lane, and the woman elbows her in the face. Her name is Brona Power Cassidy. She's a senior for Holy Cross. She's from Ireland. She's cool. So she elbows her in the face, and Caitlin goes down like a ton of bricks, right? Here was Caitlin after, let's hear cut 10, please, Pete, said she didn't think it was intentional or done on purpose.
It was just kind of a stinger to the nose. I was lucky it wasn't anything worse than that, but it didn't really bother me too much. I think you just kind of respond. Nice to have two free throws and then run a play, but it looked kind of bad in slow-mo, but it wasn't on purpose. She didn't do that on purpose, so she came up and said sorry, but honestly, I'm totally okay.
Okay, Caitlin's okay. Let's actually hear from Brona Power Cassidy next. Can we hear cut 11 from Brona, the Holy Cross? They were the 16 seed in Iowa taking on the Hawkeyes. They ended up losing by a lot, but they really held tight in this game. Here's Brona Power Cassidy saying the elbow was unintentional.
It was totally unintentional. I actually broke my hand in our playoff game at BU in our final. And so like when I was moving, I was just very conscious of like keeping it out of too much contact. And unfortunately, it just happened that way. I would like to apologize. It was not intentional at all. And like, she was a great support about understanding that.
Okay. She also said she knows it looks bad because it's in slow-mo.
Yeah. They actually said to her, the question was, so you went viral after the game. I'm like, oh my God, I got this poor person in trouble.
Yeah, you did. So here's what it sounded like on ESPN. Cut 19, please.
ABC. Yeah.
To the cop to the face, perhaps. The officials... official's going to look at this replay. Let's see. Oh, that's on the rip through on the cut by Power Cassidy. With the elbow.
Previous foul is under review.
Okay, and the announcers did not think that it was an intentional foul. We've got that sound too. Let's play
it. Yeah, and it looks like she was just going to cut. It doesn't look like there's any intent right there, but definitely comes through right across the face.
Okay, so... you tweeted, everyone could see this wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
And you got snowed. I mean, it was a bit of, like, the announcers agreed with you.
Yeah.
And I think the two women agreed with you, both Caitlin and the woman, Power Cassidy, who were involved in the play. But the reaction was so swift. And this is really what we're getting at here, which is it's almost like if you say anything negative towards Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Right. If you say anything like, hey, she didn't intentionally get hit in the face, all of a sudden you become public enemy number one, which you literally lived this weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing. If she had hit any other Iowa player or any other player in college basketball, except maybe Angel Reese in the face, that tweet gets maybe 13 views.
Right.
Instead of 16 million views. You're right. I couldn't believe the energy around Caitlin Clark and this tweet. It was shocking to me. It was a lesson. Caitlin Clark is just different. She's different than everything in this tournament. And I'm wondering, how do you actually go out there and play when the entire country, you know, the entire country is watching you and expects you to go all the way? So you're Iowa. It's enough pressure to be in the NCAA tournament. I can't remember a team on the men's or the women's side that's had this kind of pressure in a long time. Maybe... I'm just trying to think of one off the top of my head where there's been a run like this where everybody's waiting to see you. The president, presidents of other countries, right. People all over the globe expect Iowa to be there. I think you could see some of that pressure working on Iowa. And I think it makes it much harder for them to advance.
No doubt. I mean, the frustration for Caitlin Clark was all over, you know, in the first half. You know, she gets into a heated exchange with an official. Okay, that happens a lot. She's, you know... headbutts a basketball at one point out of frustration. And even her own father is in the stands, and you can see he mouths to her, stop, like, you are getting yourself out of your game. And she also had 5 turnovers in the first half. And listen, she handles the ball a lot, so you're going to turn the ball over, but 5 in the first half is excessive. She really calmed down in the second half. Holy Cross is a 16 seed. Upsets like this never happen in the women's tournament. First of all, you have the ultimate home field advantage. For the top seeds, you're literally playing in your home arena. So it's a sellout crowd of diehard Hawkeye fans. But this was a Holy Cross team that came in and was really physical at first, and it got Caitlin out of her game. I think that you saw how frustrated she was, and this is only going to get tougher. I mean, maybe this is a wake-up call. They ended up winning by a lot. So the second half was more of a landslide, especially more in the fourth quarter. But to be honest, like, she gets under pressure, it looks different. It looks like you can take her out of her game. And I think it was all the things at once. The pressure of the moment, the pressure of maybe feeling like you have the entire tournament on your shoulders, maybe the sport. I don't know if that's fair. But I think you saw some of the cracks there.
Well, she's also coming off a game, Big Ten title game, where she started at 0-9 from three-point land.
Yeah.
And Nebraska, who I guess plays really well against Iowa, showed a scheme. It was basically a box and one on Caitlin. Yeah. So, and Holy Cross wasn't exactly a box and one, but they knew where Caitlin was the whole time. And it made me wonder, if you're in this tournament, it's not the regular season. This game is not just a game. You are really prepared for Caitlin Clark. And these last two games showed, oh, okay, if you make somebody else, there's a way to make somebody else beat you. It's kind of like playing Steph Curry.
Right,
it reminds me so much of that, where she's just going to have to move it back and be consistent 10 feet behind the line because they are not going to give her any easy looks. This is Holy Cross. Like you said, there are 16 teams.
Yeah, right.
So I think there's a blueprint here. You wonder, watching Caitlin Clark, oh my God, why didn't you just face guard her 45 feet from the basket and make her beat you? Nebraska showed that, and Nebraska took Iowa to overtime in that Big Ten final game. Nebraska's not even that great. So I think there's real pressure on here. I said this to you earlier. I just cannot see Iowa getting through to the final game again. I mean, they have so much pressure. And Everybody except Caitlin Clark is going to have to step up now because we see the formula.
Right.
Make them beat you.
Well, it's funny because you would think the team that's really feeling the pressure would be the undefeated team. And that's South Carolina, because most of the time, when you are undefeated, the pressure of that starts to creep in.
Did they look nervous to you this opening weekend?
No, they didn't. Went by a million. It's interesting, and I just wonder if, and this is something that happens in sports, and I'm not trying to take away the fun of this, right? I think a lot of people, you mentioned it, Perloff, are rooting for Caitlin Clark in Iowa because they're rooting for the story, mostly for Caitlin Clark. I don't know if it's about Iowa. I think it's about her playing for her hometown. We'd never really cared. The country had never really cared too much about Iowa women basketball before Caitlin got there. So I'm just going off history there. I just wonder, can we talk about her in the right way, or can we accept the fact that this might not end like a movie? Like, I know we all want it so much, or a lot of people want this. Maybe not South Carolina, maybe not LSU. But a lot of people want this so bad. She might lose. She probably will. You know, the odds that they make it to the title game, it's like, I think we have to all be okay. I saw this a little on the men's side when you're seeing Oakland play yesterday, and it was a great story. Oakland, they're outside of Detroit, and, you know, Jack Golke's raining threes in the first round. They pull off a big upset. But you know what? Against Kentucky. But you know what? The refs gave them every call at the end of the game yesterday. Was it Saturday night? Saturday night's game. Thank you. And it's like, it's not a fairy tale. It's sports. I know sometimes we treat it like a fairy tale, but the best thing we like about a Perloff is we have no idea what the outcome is going to be. And we have to find a way that we can, Perloff doesn't get an avalanche of negative criticism just because he says, hey, Caitlin Clark didn't actually take a, left hook to the face. It was a basketball play. And it's like, you can't even say that about Caitlin Clark because she's such a darling. Good for her, great for her, great for the sport. But guys, we've got to be able to talk about this like it's still sports and like she's still an athlete, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly. This isn't the NFL. There's no script.
I think that we get caught up in it. And I get it. I don't want to say you shouldn't get caught up in it. I'm not waving my finger and saying, oh, how dare you care? How dare you get excited about it? No, you should absolutely get excited about it. But we all have to also face the fact here that it may not end like a fairy tale. It may not end like a movie script. She's still going to move on. She's still amazing. And listen, like it might just not be a Disney movie.
No, that would be, I hate to say it. I wanted to see her advance because it's just more exciting when the singular superstar. And that the irony is men's basketball is completely missing that singular superstar. We have a bunch of really, really good players, but there's no Zion or there's no Michael Jordan. Or there's just no name like this. For me, Caitlin Clark is historical. That being said, the officials watch that storyline too because they might protect her. I wonder that. I think here's the thing. There's going to be so much scrutiny on every call against Iowa, too. I learned that the hard way. That is a preview. Imagine the LSU game. Imagine if this happens in the LSU game and there's a controversial call. Wow, it is just going to blow up. It is going to be the number one story in sports.
Yeah, I mean, the other part, too, and there's like an X's and O's part of this, of why this went so viral. And again, Perloff, you said 16 million. You're 17 million and counting. I mean, people really got into your tweet. And
yeah, Mr. Worldwide over there.
I know. There's like articles, like think pieces being written about what Perloff said. And I mean, it's pretty wild. They called it an intentional foul, and that didn't do anyone any favors. Because when you say intentional foul, that assume she was kind of going in there again with the intent that she wanted to hurt Caitlin Clark or that she wanted to take out her face. It may not have been a basketball play because her arms were kind of flailing around, but that's a flagrant. A flagrant is different, I think, than intentional. It's excessive contact. They absolutely should have called it. They're well within their rights to call that. It was excessive contact to the face. Even if it was inadvertent, she made the contact with the face. When you call it intentional, it puts a weight behind it. Like she's out there MMA style, trying to put Caitlin Clark on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where I got in trouble. I mean, that was her lane to go through. Caitlin Clark got in her way. If there was a foul either way, it was defensive. But then you get the excessive contact.
Did you write that? You want to get 17 million more views? Put that out today.
It wasn't necessarily a foul. I mean, Caitlin Clark's feet weren't set. That's why the announcers didn't expect a foul. It was clearly just a collision. I mean, people run into each other all the time. In every sport, I just think that the elbow got so high, which we learned later was because her hand was broken, that they called it flagrant. But it definitely, it was not, there was no intent whatsoever. That's sort of my point. It was so obvious that she wasn't trying to punch Caitlin Clark in the face. And here's my question, man. Why would this woman try and punch Caitlin Clark in the face? Like, well, is there any bad blood going on there?
No, but, first of all, it's insane. Holy Cross was being very physical. Apparently, that's their style. Can't say that. I've been watching a lot of Holy Cross.
They're a 16 seed, yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. Patriot League, stand up. But here's the thing. I think a lot of people want to try to take Caitlin Clark out of her game. So why would somebody go after her? I think...
But they were on offense.
No, I know.
They were not on defense.
It's why
they
came. It's not hacking her and stuff like
that. It could have been any player. I don't think that person even knew it was Caitlin Clark who was standing there. It was. Well,
you probably are aware where she is on the floor.
Oh, on defense? Why?
Well, yeah.
They were running some sort of high pick and roll action. I don't think there was any notice that it was Caitlin Clark. And the other people, here's where the big fight came in. The big fight.
Wait, what? There was more?
It got way worse.
Oh, gosh.
So I said, it was clearly an accident. You know how many people I've accidentally elbowed in the face through the years on the basketball court because I'm a spaz? Then, okay, our buddy Jeff Schwartz, former NFL player, is like, well, there's a huge difference between you playing at the Y and high-level women's college basketball. And then I tweeted back at him. I'm like, oh, sorry, you're an offensive lineman, not Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Relax.
Oh.
And that caused some trouble. So then there was a fight about... my point was, it was totally accidental contact.
Wait, did you get into who's more athletic, an offensive lineman or you?
By the way, he is very athletic. So I sent a note to apologize. Never heard back. We have a beef there, apparently. I sent a note back to Jeff.
I'm friends with him. Are you? Am I now guilty?
Oh, I think so. Good. I said, Jeff, I'm so sorry. Of course, this is a different level of athleticism. But we've all watched basketball. There are random collisions. Can we just... Not every random collision is a flagrant or intentional foul. There are such things as two people running into each other by accident. Do we see headbutts all the time? They're not all intentional fouls, and this would not have been even called if it wasn't Caitlin Clark.
I got to be honest. You have not only the entire internet against you on this one, you also have the stars against you on this one because I'm looking in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. If you want to watch the show, our friend Angela, the tarot card reader, said she did a quick poll. Said it was somewhat intentional. Ace of Pentacles. Put that in your pipe. They probably should have gone to that on a replay. Instead of having the replay official, the ref who never showed up because they couldn't get her volume, the technical issue.
So yeah, this is the first time ever the women's tournament has had an officiating expert. And they were going to bring her on. They kept teasing her. They're like, we're having audio issues. If that woman had come on and said something, and I think she might have been on my side and said it's a basketball move.
I know. So
it can't be a flagrant and a basketball move.
So clearly it was the deep state trying to keep this woman from saying that Caitlin Clark didn't have a case.
I'll tell you one thing too, Maddie.
But anyway, they should just bring Angela, the tarot card reader. Yeah. Is it a flagrant? Have her pull a card. Boom.
I'm telling you right now, this is a preview for America, what's going to happen. There is a giant, there's so much pent-up energy around Caitlin Clark. There's a giant controversy awaiting. Because if I can start some controversy, can you imagine if this is deeper in the tournament and they're facing a premier team? It is going to blow up. It's going to be crazy.
So one of the people who was against you in this fight, EJ.
Hey, without going into the X's and O's.
I know. EJ secretly leading the mob against Perloff.
Pitchforks and all.
But... aside from the actual X's and O's of this,
right?
Because if you didn't see the play, you can go look at it. Again, it looks bad in slow-mo. Caught her in the nose. The officials, or the announcers, did agree with Perloff. The internet did not. You didn't like that it wasn't a basketball play.
Yeah. Clearly it's not, because she said it wasn't. She admitted it was not a basketball play. She said, I was trying to protect my hand, so that's why I raised my arms up to do this, and I hit her in the face.
Which... And she got the call, right? Like, Caitlin got the call. It was the intentional foul, which is basically their flagrant. It's two shots and possession.
Huge play, too, because it was a close game. It was 26-21 in the second quarter,
yep.
And they got two shots, and that sort of started to turn the tide of the game. So it was an important play. That's another reason that I was tweeting about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Holy Cross is... possibly going to make a game out of this, and then it just ended right there.
What else did you have a problem with?
Well, so first of all, on the play, just the way I think of these plays is, okay, if that happened to my team, would I expect a flagrant? And I wasn't rooting for any of these teams. I didn't watch this game. If I just seeing it just without context, I'm like, that's clearly a flagrant. You can't elbow somebody
in the face. And they called that.
My issue, though, with you guys is I feel like there's this... there's this thing like, well, if she doesn't win the championship or she doesn't go far, well, that's okay. I don't buy that.
Oh, like, I don't think that. I just think we have to understand there's a possibility that sports is not going to end like a movie.
Well, I think people understand that, but I think we shouldn't absolve her of the expectations, I think, is what I would say.
Absolve her? She's just a player. If she loses,
Perloff, she's not just a player. If she was just a player, we wouldn't be starting the show talking about you going viral with 17 million views on a maybe or maybe not intentional foul. She's bigger than that. So to me, I don't think it's unnecessary or it's going over the top to say, hey, there are expectations. We expect you to go far. And if you fall short, yes, it will be a disappointment.
Oh, well, that's
no
where
question.
You and I agree on that. I mean, I said if she goes out early, this is going to, I think, have a hangover to her pro career. I mean, I think that they're definitely right to have expectations on her. They're the number one seed. You get the first two games at home. I just think we saw what the pressure can do. And, you know, it's a fine line, right? Sometimes that pressure can really bring out the best of you. Sometimes the worst. Sometimes both. And I think we got both sides of it with Caitlin in that opening round. So I'm curious to see what she does tonight because teams are just going to keep being physical and they've figured out a way to, you're not neutralizing her, but get in her way.
She's not LeBron. I mean, I think what I'm hearing from you guys is if she doesn't win the whole thing, it's a bust. Nobody expects her to physically dominate this entire tournament, do they? I mean, if they do, then that's not going to happen.
Is she not by and
far the best player in women's college basketball?
No.
What?
She's the best player in women's basketball, but clearly there are ways to stop this Iowa team.
There's not one person that's going to get a vote for player of the year besides Caitlin Clark. Not one person.
If they play South Carolina, last year was an 11.5-point spread.
But I think
it's even bigger. I'm saying South Carolina is such a heavy favorite. If they face off, she's going to be an underdog. She's closer to a Cinderella than South Carolina.
She averages 30 points.
If they play South Carolina, what's the spread?
I don't care about the spread. They beat them last year.
Yeah, I know. And it was a double-digit spread then. It's going to be a double-digit. I'm just saying expectations based on the public is that South Carolina is a way better team. We know that.
Pearl, it's basketball. It's competition. We can talk about a spread. We can talk about what we expect. We saw those two teams line up on the basketball court. And what happened? Caitlin Clark went off, and they won the game. Yes, South Carolina is a great team. I think that they're a more talented team. I don't think that means that we should just assume and say, Caitlin Clark loses them. Well, it's okay. You're the best player on the court. In any other sport, whether it's men's basketball, WNBA, NBA, we would say, hey, the best player on the court by far, we expect them to rise to the occasion.
Even when they're underdogs.
Yes, of course. Look, we just said LeBron. You said LeBron James. How many times did he play the Warriors and he was the underdog, and we kept still crushing him for getting swept or crushing him for losing in five games? That's been a bunch.
When even the KD Warriors, we were crushing LeBron.
Yes, he did get crushed. What do you mean?
I don't know. The Warriors were heavy favorites,
and people said this is why LeBron is an MJ, which is what we keep talking about.
Well, listen, I think she's got the expectations. Clearly, I just wonder if people understand that we can, even if with the expectations and even if she's the darling here, we still have to be able to talk about her in a way that she's an athlete. You know, she hasn't risen above the sword. She's not levitating above it. If Perloff wants to say she shouldn't, you know, that shouldn't have been a flagrant, he can't get buried under an avalanche of criticism. It just felt crazy.
Social media is a bunch of idiots. I mean, that's fact. I mean, that's proven empirically.
But you don't think Rex and Jeff Schwartz are idiots. Like, there are people you actually know who are leading a charge against you.
Definitely
AJ.
Weren't watching the game. Everyone who's watching the game called me and said you were right. Paulie Papps, our good buddy, who watches every second of Caitlin Clark's, like, there is no doubt that that was a basketball move.
Oh my gosh. I'm not playing basketball with you guys. Just putting that out there now.
Bring a face mask. 855-212.
Not a bad strategy because I could easily have been that Holy Cross player.
855-212-4CBS. All right, we get this going talking about Caitlin Clark and what we saw from the women's tournament. And is it fair to still have these expectations on Caitlin? 855-212-4CBS. Maggie Perloff, we got a lot to do today. Glad you're with us. CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Heated discussion about a call from Saturday's Iowa Holy Cross game, as we are known to debate whatever Iowa and Holy Cross face off throughout the record books.
Yeah,
it was a 1 seed versus 16 seed. It got ABC primetime 3 o'clock game, huge deal. I said that there was a bad call when Caitlin Clark got elbowed in the face, and they called it an intentional foul. Anyway, it went viral. Thank you, Rex Chapman. I am looking, Maggie, at the archive on this website, Awful Announcing, who wrote it up. They cover the media. Here are some of the other things that the Maggie and Perloff show has been written up for.
Oh.
This is a lot of fun.
This is the archive of our show being written up by Awful Announcing.
Okay. Just a couple things. Yeah. The last thing before this, WWE star Seth Rollins on Vince McMahon's allegations. It's a disgusting situation. Great story. We got that at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay, very serious. Breaking news. Then I'm going back here. So I guess Zach was sitting in for me, and Zach Gelb eats mint ice cream with ranch on air. It tastes like crap, but it's not that bad. Important headline. What?
I think I was here for that.
I do remember that day. Very
August 10th, 2023. Big headline. then there's a few stories, or multiple stories, on maybe the biggest incident in Maggie and Perloff history, the biggest controversy. CBS Sports Radio pauses Andrew Perloff's potentially dangerous peanut butter bit.
I did like three podcasts off of that. People were very interested. There was another think piece that was written about the peanut butter.
We have actually a lot of headlines that aren't about the show, but basically, somehow Awful Announcing is in a weird lane with our show. We like them. They're actually super cool people.
Yeah, they are. It's called Awful Announcing, kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's just about announcing.
Right, it's about announcing. The headline today is Andrew Perloff blasted for terrible take on Caitlin Clark play. I sent them a note. I'm like, I think this headline is pejorative. Like, let them decide for themselves. Could you say Andrew Perloff blasted for take on Caitlin Clark play? The headline says blasted for terrible take on Caitlin Clark play. Where is the journalism in Awful Announcing? Let the audience decide for themselves. But anyway, it's nice to be covered. All news is good news, I guess. But anyway, so I think I actually didn't feel bad because at least it's just arguing over a call. I had six angry tweets about an Auburn player getting ejected and destroying my bracket on Friday night. I was so mad. All I do on my Twitter feed is blame the officials for things. If anybody wants anyone to rip the officials, come to Ed Andrew Perloff. Why this one took off on Caitlin Clark is still a mystery to me. I don't know if you guys felt that way during the bracket. Did anyone else blame the officials? That is my go-to whenever my bracket gets destroyed. I'm like, oh, the officials wanted Yale to beat Auburn.
Well, I think they really wanted Oakland to beat NC State.
I felt that way, too.
If you're NC State, this on the men's side, obviously. If you're NC State, and I know Oakland was the good story, they have the 14 seed. They ups up 3rd seed Kentucky. We talked about John Calipari and his future and whether it's in question. But, you know, NC State, also a good story. So,
great story.
You know, I think it's okay. You didn't have to try to hand the game to Oakland.
When's the last time NC State lost a basketball game? They're all of a sudden big deal. I will admit, I thought it was going to be all underdogs again, the Florida Atlantics of the world. But you know what? That's by design because they stuck Florida Atlantic and San Diego State right in the UConn bracket, and UConn's going to kill everybody. So I think the tournament organizers are the reason that we have all these number one seeds advancing.
Huh.
I think it's totally. I mean, look at UConn's road. They beat Stetson and Northwestern. Northwestern
basketball.
Well,
they're the number one overall seed.
Yeah, they earned
that. You're supposed to get.
Whatever. Northwestern should be covering this game, not playing in it. That was ridiculous. UConn is being handed the title.
I'm sorry. Is Purdue the number one overall seed?
No, UConn is the
number one. UConn is the number one. Okay.
Why, Northwestern, they had a good year this year. Boo Boo, he's a good guard. Then they got crushed by UConn. But guess what? UConn crushes everybody.
Well, that's the thing. The top seeds have been crushing everybody. So for all the parity, you know, college basketball is so different right now. All 4-1 seeds, all 4-2 seeds, half the 3 seeds. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines back from his jaunt over to the NBA.
Hello,
sounded great. Congrats. Great job.
Thank you very much. I missed you guys. I've been gone for a very long time.
We saw you Monday, then it was like, Bogish is gone.
I'm out of here.
You did not miss us. You're on a private plane with an NBA team and you missed us? Get out of here.
I got to be honest. Traveling like an NBA player is an experience. My new goal now is not to play. I don't want to play minutes in the NBA. I just want to be good enough to be on a team to travel to games in the NBA.
I walked in the sport.
I was going to say you're a 40-year-old white man who's got one centimeter vertical. So
never mind. Didn't miss Maggie.
Sorry.
I missed you, though.
Missed me. You saw me in the coffee room this morning. You didn't even recognize me. I'm like, hey, I had to introduce you. I'm Andrew Perloff. You're like, oh, right, my previous life.
Yeah.
Well, I had my headphones sunglasses on, so that's probably why I didn't see you.
yeah. Showing up today in a fur coat? Like, what the heck?
Why are your clothes all sequins? Weird. This NBA is really getting
glitter,
to your head.
Maggie.
I'm sorry. It's NBA lifestyle. The fur coat, we can do without.
Yeah, the NBA lifestyle.
It is remarkable how there aren't really rules anymore. Like, you just get on the plane, there's food waiting for you.
The charter.
Yeah, if you want to sit down while they're taking off, great. If not, feel free to go to the bathroom. Like, all the things that you go through on a normal flight apparently are for show. Your seat
not
doesn't
for safety.
No, your seat can be back. Your seatbelt can be off. You can talk. You can giggle. You can do whatever. Have your phone out. Don't put it in airplane mode. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You realize why we need these rules. Have you seen how people behave on planes lately? We are a pack of hyenas.
You should see how people, when there are free snacks, behave on NBA charter planes, too.
People like you. I don't know.
I was one of the first people. I was being nice. I took one thing, and then I heard just handfuls of bags of nuts and granola bars crinkling. People just like stock up for winter on these
things. Capture all.
They also, the players or the other people?
Everybody.
I was going to say, the players at least just did an athletic endeavor.
Yes.
You can understand why they would be hungry.
He makes $40 million a year. You mean he's taking advantage of the free granola bars?
Yeah, man. There was free food at the gym, at the arena as they were leaving, and then more food on the plane.
Have you ever seen the buffet, the post-game buffet that's usually in the locker room afterwards? That looks good.
Have you ever flown private before? Is this different than a normal private flight?
This is my second time flying private.
Okay.
On the charter.
Yep. This was a higher experience than going to Nebraska for Fordham football, which is a charter flight.
Oh, that sounds cool.
But this one was a regular Delta plane reconfigured inside for more space. Like, the person in front of you, they couldn't bother you. They could be doing somersaults in their seat. Yeah. It was not going to affect you. Your little table came out of the arm of your chair, so it wasn't connected to their seat.
Right, right.
You could have stretched out, reclined.
Average height is like 6'10".
So. Yeah.
Do the Nets own this plane? Is this a Nets-only plane, or they repurpose it for multiple things?
Yeah, I thought with Joe Tsai and all his cash, I was going to walk onto a Nets plane, but it was just a Delta redesigned inside plane.
How much would that cost the Maggie and Perloff show to get it next road trip? We all get on the private...
You want to fly private to San Antonio to apologize to Wemby?
How much do you think that'll put me back?
$300,000, maybe?
Well, although off your Caitlin Clark tweet, you could probably monetize your account now and maybe make some money off of X and pay for that plane.
It's crazy you're not doing that, but that would really materially change the bet. I mean, you can't go from a road trip to a charter flight.
I'll be honest, though. If it does put, like, Perloff $100,000 in debt, I mean, that would be a painful punishment for him.
What's that?
To bankrupt him?
Yeah, if he went $100,000 debt because he decided to go private instead of driving to San Antonio.
Maybe we could do a barter with Wheels Up or something where we give them something and they let us fly to San Antonio.
I think you should just take your 16 million views and start selling things. Hashtag this is an ad and just start pushing product on... Do a get ready with me video before you come into work and see what kind of money you can make off of social media.
To be honest, my experience, Instagram is much more monetizable than X/Twitter. So that's a problem, first of all. Second of all, it doesn't matter how much money you make. That private plane you were on, $300,000 is light. How big was it? It was a 747, probably. It was huge.
It was not a 747, but it was oddly long.
Like, oh, okay.
So the players, the media and non-players go on first and hide in the back. And then the players get on, they close the door, and we leave. And then you do the reverse when you land. So I didn't see a player in either plane.
Like the players sit in the front?
In the front, yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, the bus, they want to be in the back, but in the plane, they want to be in the front.
But how are you going to have your gambling in your poker games and stuff in the front?
They gambled through the plane, throughout the plane. But for the majority of the flight, they were in the front. I don't remember if there's any kind of partition, but they were so far ahead of us. And there were that many, like, sections, couldn't see him, couldn't hear him, except when they celebrated their takeoff bet. That's all I could, that's all the interaction.
Well, to be honest, I mean, and let's be fair, the Nets aren't exactly playing for much right now.
No.
Although, did hurt your call. The call was great.
Listen, they're 2-for-2 in my book. They won a game. They almost won a game that I've done this year. I feel like I should at least be on the trip, if not working at their games, because they seem to play their best when I'm around.
You need to be a hanger-oner.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch Air Force One movies? I'm obsessed with Air Force One. The president's plane. Mm-hmm. The fact that he has a private bedroom in the back, that is my dream.
That's the biggest part?
Oh, yes.
You don't think the president would have a bedroom on his plane? Of course he would.
Well, the plane is crazy because they have a whole media contingent in one section.
Right.
Then they have a conference room. I've watched so many episodes of West Wing. I know all about Air Force One. It's not a no-brainer. Actually, I don't even know if he really has a bed there. This was just a TV show.
I think he does. I think the shower is the most interesting thing. You shower on a plane. I guess easily, but.
Yeah, I mean, those new ones that fly like from here to the Mideast, like those, some of those, like those first class cabins are insane, and there are definitely showers on those
showers
planes.
In there. Okay, I don't know. I'm not a first class rider.
Yeah, neither am I. We got to get on this. I mean, instead of middle seat on Southwest
next to the bathroom.
Albuquerque.
I know a guy now. I'll put in a good word for you guys next time you travel.
Well, that's it for headline. No, what do you got for it?
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Macarena has boyfriend who they call by the name of Vitorino.
Didn't miss that.
Peter Schwartz as Bane reading the Macarena.
Hey, Macarena. Hey.
Oh, my God.
So I shouldn't ever go away again? Is that the message here?
forever.
To be honest, though, we have to update you on a couple things that you've missed since you left. Not just the Schwartz thing, but there's something that could be involving you soon. So it'd only be fair. We'll tell you next hour.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Debatable intentional foul calls, an added bonus. Women's March Madness has never had this much juice, Pete. It's almost cliche to say it at this point, but we'll make an exception for Caitlin Clark.
In general, like the excitement around this tournament, like it's super cool. Like people are more excited about the women's side than the men's side. And I think that's obviously something that's really never been the case before. And it's cool to see how it's evolved. Like when I first started this, when I was a freshman, like we couldn't even use the March Madness branding. And now to see this, and really it's just taken a whole nother level. And I expect it to continue to grow this year. And I think that's the coolest thing for myself.
And Clark is back on the floor tonight. She and her Hawkeyes facing 8th-seeded Washington for a spot in the Sweet 16. That one tips shortly after 8 Eastern. Last night, second-ranked Stanford survived number 7 Iowa State, 87-81 in overtime in the Portland 4 region. And number 5 Baylor knocked off 4th-ranked Virginia Tech, 75-72. To make the Sweet 16 for the first time in 3 seasons. The Baylor men not as lucky, losing their round of 32 game to Clemson in Memphis, 72-64. Scott Drew's team makes its 3rd consecutive second round exit.
Such a great group. Our staff has just loved being with them each and every day, and they've done such a great job representing Baylor basketball, our university, community. I'm so proud of them. And I hurt for them. I hurt that we won't be together with them.
Also from the West bracket, Alabama fought off number 12, Grand Canyon, 72-61. The Tide's 3rd Sweet 16 in 4 years. It was never close in Brooklyn. East number 1, UConn dumping Northwestern, 75-58 after Duke knocked out James Madison, 93-55. The only drama yesterday really in Memphis, where South number 1, Houston, blew a 12-point lead with 2 minutes left in regulation, but then beat Texas A&M 195. In overtime, the Cougars get to play the Blue Devils in Dallas later this week. The Lakers outscored the Pacers last night 150-145, and the Warriors losing in Minnesota 114-110. Golden State just a 1-game lead now in the Rockets for 10th in the West. Shohei Ohtani will discuss the gambling drama engulfing him later today. And U.S. men's soccer, another 2-0 win over Mexico, this time to win the Nations League Cup for the 3rd time in a row. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much for deigning us with your...
We'll see if I'm here in an hour.
With your appearance this morning. After a stint hanging out with the Nets, the NBA's Nets last week. Coming up, which contender are we buying on the men's side? Who's looked the best over the first 2 rounds of the tournament? We get to that next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff, CBS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, reacting to a big weekend in the NCAA tournament. You got more from the women tonight, but the men won't get back in action until Thursday. Perloff, the best-looking team on the men's side to you is who so far?
Hot take, UConn, the defending champions. I picked Auburn to beat them in the Sweet 16. Kind of wishful thinking in the sense that I wanted some chaos,
yep.
And it doesn't feel like a chaos tournament. And what I saw, nobody looks more well-rounded and ready to go. There's no hangover from the championship. I had a stat since 2007, no number one seed has advanced past the Sweet 16. UConn's clearly going to blow that out, and they could become the first repeat champion since 2007. Feels like their tournament to lose. Do you have a team that jumps out?
It was Purdue to me. I mean, maybe it's the teams that we both didn't believe in as much are now the ones who are making us look silly, and Purdue is that one for me. You know, we had a conversation last week about Zach Edey and him being the two-time unanimous All-American. He's going to be the two-time player of the year on the men's side with two tournament wins to speak of. This is before this year's tournament started, and multiple losses to double-digit seeds, and how much of, you know, his career could be looked at as a disappointment if he didn't do better in this tournament. Well, it got off to a slightly slow start yesterday, but they ended up winning by 39. They won their opening round game by 28. I mean, Purdue, I give them a lot of credit because, you know, you lose to a 16 seed last year. It's got to be incredibly embarrassing and humbling and all of that. You add on top of it Matt Painter and Purdue's poor showing in the tournament and all the losses they've had to double-digit seeds going back to North Texas and FDU and St. Peter's, and they look like a completely different team. Now, can they pull off the UVA? I don't know, where you go from losing to a 16 seed 1 year and then win it all the next year. I'm not sure, but because Gonzaga, I think, looks a lot better than anyone thought. People thought Gonzaga was overseeded. It looks like that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that UConn has an easier road than Purdue. Purdue is they're only 4-point favorites over Gonzaga. That feels like a game to me. Where
excited to watch it.
UConn, San Diego State, and then eventually UConn will get the winner of Illinois, Iowa State if they advance. And I know Iowa State's a top seed. It just feels like to me like UConn is rolling.
Purdue would get Tennessee if everything goes chalk.
Yeah, I still see the problems with Purdue. There was early in the game, Utah State had a strategy to pull Zach Edey out on the pick and roll. Zach Edey covers anyone under 6'5". It's an automatic bucket. The dude cannot move his feet. I'm sorry. I know he's the two-time player of the year, but he, come at me, EJ, he's a stiff on defense. He's just like Rudy Gobert. He's gigantic and is great around the rim, but he can't cover anyone outside. I think there are strategies that can neutralize Zach Edey. And the tournaments in the past have proven that. I'm still not buying Purdue because they beat Grambling State and Utah State. How do we know? How do we know? And EJ, you know Gonzaga really well. Doesn't this feel like a really tight game coming?
It feels like a tight game, but Gonzaga's had trouble with Zach Edey, and he's killed them the two times they played them the last 2 years. So as great as Gonzaga is playing, and I think that they would be one of the teams I certainly would be excited about if you're looking at who can make a run, not really excited about this particular matchup because Zach Edey has given them a lot of problems.
I mean, here's the thing, though. You can look at UConn. They beat Stetson. I mean,
yeah,
what are you talking about? And, like, that's the thing. These first-round matchups are kind of designed to be very, very nice to the one seeds, which is why it's so incredible when they get upset. Obviously, it didn't happen this year. You know, the thing is about Purdue, it's funny about Edey. You're right, defensively. But offensively, he's not a stiff.
Yeah.
Now, EJ put out on social media over the weekend that Zach Edey will be a first-round pick. It's wild that we're even saying that might even be a take when the guy is a two-time Naismith Player of the Year, most likely, and is a unanimous All-American. We're usually talking about that person going number one overall, maybe at least top five.
Yep.
I mean, that's not going to happen. But I do think on the offensive side, he has improved his footwork. You know, I was critical of him last week, so I do want to give credit where it's due.
And I'll be honest. I mean, we talk about, you know, he's going to get it exploited in pick-and-roll action. Maybe. Like, the way they put him in drop coverage, if you don't have a shooter, a big man who can shoot the ball, I actually don't know really how you exploit him.
They were doing it yesterday. There was a string of 8 straight Utah State points all on Zach Edey.
Nah, early in the game. It didn't last very long because he dominated the rest of the game. I think to play that style for 40 minutes against them and do it effectively is going to be very difficult because he's very good in drop coverage.
Well, Utah State got in foul trouble really early, and then they had no chance. And it's Utah State. They're not a powerhouse. I just am still nervous about Purdue, and it's history, too. It's hard to get past that. And you say he's a first-rounder. How high are we talking?
I think he goes somewhere between late lottery and late into the first round. I think he's somewhere in there. It's so early right now to tell, but like, I think someone who
do you think
that,
he'll have an impact in the
yeah,
NBA?
I mean, I think someone who we've seen these bigger guys get drafted now. Okay, we saw you know the kid from Auburn or Walker Kessler who's playing for Team USA this summer get drafted. The NBA isn't as afraid of these 7-footers as we used to be. Mm-hmm. So I think Zach Edey has a place. I just think that it's going to have to be on a team that is like. Definitely knows what they want for him to do. Kenny Smith had a good point. Kenny Smith said, look, this guy is a true five. So maybe he plays 20 minutes a night playing a true five. Probably can't play him 40 minutes a night. But if you want what he's going to bring you for 20 minutes, he could do it at a high level.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I mean, these one seeds have just been dominant. I know last night it got a little tight for Houston having to go to overtime. They only win by five. But on average, the number one seeds have been winning these games by 26 points.
Right. I mean, to be honest, I mean, the team that I think the number one seed that I think a lot of people were expecting to get upset was North Carolina. And
they look great.
They looked fantastic.
Right. But history shows it doesn't matter what kind of blowout you have in the first two rounds. That doesn't necessarily mean anything moving forward. In fact, Houston is still second in the odds, and they battled. So, again, we'll see. I'm just saying it's not going to be one throughout. It never happens that way.
Coming up, Kim Mulkey taking aim at the Washington Post. What is going on with this story? The LSU women's coach fired up. We get to that next. Maggie Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.